This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Big news out of Jefferson City yesterday. The Missouri Supreme Court vacated a lower court's decision in the state's Medicaid expansion case, agreeing that the voter-approved plan to offer Medicaid to more people should stand. The state is expected to start enrolling eligible Missourians soon. About 275,000 low-income Missourians are affected. This is a game-changer for those people and for health care in the state. Here to talk about it are two people who have followed these developments closely. They are Tracy Gleason. She's with the Missouri Budget Project that applauded this ruling. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me this morning.
Also here is Jason Hancock. He's editor-in-chief of the Missouri Independent, the online news site that covers the state capitol. Jason, always good to have you too. Welcome back.
Yeah, great to be back.
Tracy, just how significant a ruling is this?
You know, this is huge that Missouri is finally going to be able to benefit from the many spillover effects of Medicaid expansion beyond the health care benefits for 275,000 Missourians. This will bring additional federal funds to Missouri, will help spur our economy, and it, in combination with other financing mechanisms, will generate new tax revenue to pay for itself, essentially. So this is huge, not only for the health, but for economic activity in Missouri.
Jason, this moment is a long time in coming here. How would you describe how significant it is?
I mean, it's incredibly significant. This is, as you said, something that has been a debate in Missouri for the last decade, you know, starting with the passage of the Affordable Care Act in 2010, you know, otherwise known as Obamacare, but really beginning in earnest in 2013, when the governor at the time, Jay Nixon, began pushing for expansion and ran into fierce resistance from Republicans. And it's just been the same debate played out year after year until eventually the voters took it under themselves and got this approved. And so theoretically, this ends that debate. And it says these people are now eligible for Medicaid according to the Constitution. It's going to be up to the legislature to fund it now.
You know, Jason, the state Supreme Court issued a unanimous opinion here. The argument that the state had made was that the petition didn't specify a funding method to pay for this expansion. What did the court say about that?
The court essentially said that what the constitutional amendment did was change the parameters of who is eligible, and then it's up to the legislature to decide how to fund that. You know, year after year, the legislature passes a budget that includes funding for Medicaid, and then they have to come back later in the year and pass what's called a supplemental budget because they didn't approve enough money, that the program cost more than they expected. This year, the supplemental budget will obviously be much, much, much larger because they did not account for Medicaid expansion when they approved the state budget. And so in a lot of ways, it's other than the size of the supplemental, it's going to be business as usual as far as coming back and appropriating more money for Medicaid. The court said that this did not violate the Constitution. It did not usurp the legislature's appropriation authority, and that the Department of Social Services had no choice but to begin implementing expansion and enrolling in people who were eligible.
Tracy Gleason, is this a surprising decision? Was there a sense of drama attached to it?
Well, certainly there is a sense that given the weightiness of the decision and just how important it is to Missourians, you know, we've been confident in the court process. As Jason mentioned, this has been a long time coming. And I think, you know, in addition to the benefits of Medicaid expansion, this is a positive for Missouri democracy in that the voters will be implemented.
Tracy, were you anticipating this decision?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously when things are in the court system, you never quite know. But, you know, fundamentally, the state does not appropriate by line item or by population group. So just as there was not a line item for pregnant women or for children or for seniors, there wasn't one for Medicaid expansion. But as Jason said, the eligibility per voter approval of Amendment 2 now includes that population. And so they're covered through doctors, hospitals, prescriptions, all the things that were appropriated. So it was clear that the state should have moved forward so that it actually could have been implemented on July 1st.
Jason, the court issued a ruling here just 9 days after oral arguments. Why so fast?
I think they realized that this was an urgent matter to needed to be dealt with. You know, like Tracy said, this was supposed to go into effect on July 1st. You have 275,000 people who, according to the court now, were eligible on July 1st. The state should have been enrolling them. And I think that was part of the urgency of getting this ruling out was, you know, it was an expedited process from the very beginning. It went straight from the circuit court to the Supreme Court, kind of skipping that appeal process because they realized that the state has to, this isn't just a switch they can flip. It's the state now has to begin the process of creating a way for these people to become eligible and to begin to get benefits. And so they needed to move fast. And the longer this took, the more detrimental it could be, either whether one way or another, however they ended up ruling. So I think that just showed how important a decision this is, that the court took it seriously enough to really fast track a ruling.
Jason, were you surprised by the ruling? Was there a sense of uncertainty surrounding how the court was going to go here?
I guess, I mean, there's always uncertainty. You never know exactly how it's going to break down. I was somewhat surprised by the unanimous decision. You know, this is a court that's not, that includes Republican and Democratic nominees. It's not a particularly ideological court. But as far as, you know, was I surprised that they came down on the side that they did? You know, a lot of people were predicting this. You know, Caleb Rowden, who's the Senate Majority Leader, right, said as such during debate, right, when he was trying to urge his colleagues, this is a Republican, to fund Medicaid expansion. He said that this is what the court's going to do. He basically predicted exactly how this was going to come out. He was proven right yesterday when the court basically sided with every argument that the advocates had been making all along.
You know, Tracy, one big question now will be, how will the state factor in the cost of this program into a budget that's already passed for the fiscal year, which just began on the first day of this month? What do you expect to happen here in terms of finding room in the budget to finance this?
Well, as Jason said, every year they come back to do a supplemental appropriations bill, because when they go through the original budget process, everything is based on projections. You can't be accurate to, you know, the dollars and cents. This is going to happen earlier than it otherwise would have, that they'll have to come back for the supplemental, and it will be a larger supplemental bill. However, we're in really good shape. Again, when you look at the other states, you can see no other state has had to raise taxes or to cut other services to pay for Medicaid expansion. So in the long run, we're golden with this. In the short term, because of increased federal funding for Medicaid through federal coronavirus pandemic related bills, and the fact that the American Rescue Plan included an additional kind of funding incentive for states to expand Medicaid, that means Missouri is going to see more than $1 billion in extra funds over the next 2 years when this expansion is implemented. So the money is there. It's just simply a matter of the legislative process to appropriate it, send it to the departments, and do the administrative work to get people enrolled.
Jason, how much is the state's share going to be? I understand it's roughly in the range of $130 million from the general fund. Does that sound about right?
I think that sounds right. You know, Governor Parson, who, you know, admittedly was opposed to Medicaid expansion when it was on the ballot, he put that, I think it was about that amount of money, into his budget, which obviously draws down a much larger amount of federal money. That's what was removed by legislators when they stripped expansion from the budget. But, you know, like Tracy said, advocates have been saying for years that once it's implemented, through the federal money, through a savings, cost savings, by making changes within the program to kind of accommodate for the expanded population, the argument's always been that this will ultimately end up paying for itself. And so we're about to find out if the advocates for the last 10 years have been correct. And, you know, if in the next few years this program ends up, at least the expansion population ends up being a actual benefit to the state financially, as has been predicted.
Jason, what's been the reaction from Governor Parson's administration to this ruling? You there, Jason?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Somebody cut into my ear for a second.
Oh, what's been the reaction from Governor Parson's administration to this ruling?
They've been pretty quiet about this. I mean, he was never full-throated in opposition to putting the money in. Obviously, he included it in his budget. I think they're just waiting for direction from the court. It's the Supreme Court kicked it back to circuit court level and basically instructed them to write an order. for how the state is to proceed. And so presumably the judge in Cole County Circuit will, in the next week or so, a couple weeks, will issue his order, and the state will be begin the process of trying to implement expansion. And I think that's, you know, the governor's administration really won't have much choice but to follow through with that. I think the real reaction will be when we come back in January, when legislators are back in session, and what will they do? How will they react to this? Will they, you know, there's rumblings about like changing the way judges are picked, or, you know, implementing reforms or changes in how people are like work requirements for Medicaid, things like that. I think that's the big reaction on the horizon, is when lawmakers return to session next year.
Tracy, two quick points here. When will the state start enrolling people?
You know, that's an open question. They do have to go through some of the paperwork. We're hoping that that can happen as soon as maybe mid-August, but that's uncertain at this point in time.
How will this help Missourians, Tracy, who are now eligible for this program?
Well, they can start to get necessary and preventive health care rather than waiting for what could have been an easy medical condition to become an emergency and have to use emergency rooms. It's going to allow people to be more involved family members, more productive employees. The benefits are widespread. And again, there's a lot of spillover benefits for the rest of us in that aren't going to be eligible for Medicaid expansion in terms of the economic activity and just the benefits of living in a healthy community.
Well, that's Tracy Gleason. She's with the Missouri Budget Project. We just also heard from Jason Hancock, editor-in-chief of the Missouri Independent, that covers the state capitol. Thank you both for a good explanation of what went on here yesterday. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.